It's a big world out there, but modern technology is making it smaller every day. You'll find out how as Chasm now presents Tech Talk. Your phone calls are welcome at 282-4154. And now, here's your host for today's show, Mike Tabak, and Chasm's Tech Talk.
All right, welcome into Tech Talk, 780 KAZM. Mike Tabak here with you, and today we've got a great show. We're going to be talking with our friend Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography, and we'll talk to him about what he's been up to in the photography world and the world of technology when it comes to computers, the cameras, all the equipment that he gets to use. We'll get some updates on some of the newfangled stuff out there. So we'll take a quick break, get one of those out of the way. We'll come back, talk with Bob Coates, Bob Coates Photography. A couple of websites to keep in mind, bcphotography.com. That's his main website for his photography business. bcphotography.com, and of course successful-photographer.com. You kind of get a look at the in the life of a successful photographer in this area and get some tips and some pointers and just generally what he's up to on a regular basis with the blog and whatnot. So take a look at those websites. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Got more here on Tech Talk. Bob Coates, our guest today. Back after this. Welcome back in to Tech Talk, 780 KAZM. Mike Tabak here with you. And joining me now in the studio, Bob Coates. Bob Coates Photography, BC Photography, and of course, the successful-photographer.com. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great, Mike. How about yourself?
I've been better.
Okay.
I'm having a pen issue today.
I can see that, and I love the purple one you've got now.
I now have a purple one, but it's my purple one.
But it also, but at least it writes.
It writes, yeah. I had a black one that would have been preferred, but that one ran its course. So how things been going in Bob's world?
Very, very good. A lot of instruction going on, a lot of teaching.
Yeah.
Standing by for people to give a call if they want to put together a Photoshop class or a lighting class here in Sedona. You know, get two or three of your best friends together. Give me a shout.
Okay. The classes that you do teach, you can organize these for individuals, you can do or groups, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Anywhere from 1 to 100.
Yeah.
Depending upon, you know, what they want to do and how they want to do it. And I've got some places that, I can stash people and, you know, have, you know, decent sized groups with, you know, projectors and stuff too.
Yeah.
So it's, quite wonderful.
The Photoshop craze happened for a while there, and I think it was like everybody was into it or doing little things, you know, nothing too terribly artistic or creative with it, but the ability to crop a photo and do different things with it and stuff. The advent of the digital age in cameras and things like that provided people with that capability, and they you know started going off on it. Now you have these programs that do it on the fly, take a photo, you know, and change the to make it look black and white or make it look old fashioned and vintage. They do all kinds of little things and stuff like that. Still pretty basic stuff. It's not terribly creative, and it is kind of generic, you know.
Well, there's some easy things. Snapseed on the phones and
right.
A bunch of different programs like that. There's plugins for Photoshop. Some of them are very, very powerful in giving really good looks. Usually when if it's easy enough to just push a button,
yeah,
then it's probably going to look like you just pushed a button to make it happen.
Right.
And it looks, you know, it's cool, but it's not anything, it doesn't have any depth or dimension. Patterns may be repeated and, you know, be very, you know, icky from my standpoint.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But there's some programs that are now built, used as plugins for Photoshop. And basically what they allow you to do is, and they're much more advanced. Like Google has a thing called Nick filters, N-I-K.
Okay.
And the Nick filter system is only $149. It's a plugin for Photoshop. And basically everything that Nick does could be done by hand in Photoshop.
Hmm.
But it could take you a really long time to get there by the time you did this, that, the other thing. So it builds in a whole bunch of algorithms and then allows you to tweak them by hand.
Interesting.
So it's a WYSIWYG, if you will. What you see is what you get. So think of it as an advanced setting for your artisticness.
Okay.
So, or even, you know, even some of the basics, like black and white, there's a, one of the modules in there is called Silver Effects Pro 2. And it's one of the best ways to convert your images to black and white. And it has a whole bunch of presets down the side. So you can kind of just look down the side and say, oh, you're, you know, it's this kind of a thing. It's a high key. It's a low key. It's really high contrast. It's infrared simulation. So it has all these different presets down the side. But the nice part is once you get that close to where you want it to look, then you can go over and it has a whole bunch of sliders for being able to adjust the micro contrast, to adjust the tones, the black and white, really get in there and tweak it to make it yours.
Interesting.
And usually those are, but it's what you see is what you get on the screen. So you don't have to know all the steps that Photoshop is doing to make that happen. It's found a way for you to be able to see those things. And it does the same thing. It has another filter called Color Effects Pro.
Okay.
And within the color effects, there is probably 30 or 40 different presets for different looks. And then within each of those presets, there's all these different possibilities of changes. Now, some of them, again, look kind of funky and basic,
right,
but some of them are very powerful. There's a thing in there called Pro Contrast. There's one for neutralizing your color so that you don't have any color cast. There's one for adding contrast. There's another that adds a little glow. And some of those I use quite a bit in massaging and tweaking my images after the original capture.
Interesting. The amount of information that's out there, or programs or settings or add-ons and things like that, you really kind of have to understand first and foremost the original Photoshop and its basic element, because you could add all this stuff on. It's just overkill for anything you may want to do. Or more than that, it would just be confusing.
It depends on your needs and your abilities and capabilities. Photoshop itself is a massive program.
Yeah.
Actually, the people at Adobe have no idea what the program can do.
Is that right?
Well, basically, Photoshop has been built by a lot of modular systems.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a team of engineers that creates algorithms to make something happen. If this, then that. So if this layer is over top of that layer when they get blended together, if we do this, then that. And their job is to make that happen within that one little piece.
Right.
And then there's another team doing another set, and there's another team doing another set. Well, a photographer comes along and says, hey, what if I take this and put that on there?
Mm-hmm.
And once that's put on there, but you know what? If I add this over here, oh, man, that turns out really cool. It did something different because it combined two different sets of mathematical equations.
Yeah.
The permutations that are available inside there are so far beyond that, you know, photographers and people who use the program, you know, graphic artists and designers use the program and find new ways to do things on a regular basis. And then they share them with somebody else, and somebody else takes that knowledge and then goes, oh, man, if I did that, what if I did this?
Right.
And add a next thing to it. And then, you know, which is basically what I'm doing with my photosynthesis instruction.
Okay.
Basically taking multiple images of different things. Some of them include textures, the base image of whatever the subject is, maybe three or four textures or five, and then putting together with the various blend modes, masking out parts, putting parts together, and creating ways that make my images look like, you know, impressionistic paintings or, you know, different kinds of art.
It really is amazing the capabilities you have. If you're willing to sit there and just kind of hunt around for a while, you know, it's...
There's a lot of instruction out there.
Yeah.
Some of it better than others.
Right.
There's a thing called lynda.com. Mm. Lynda.com is like $25 a month, and you have access to their entire library of... And they actually teach a lot of software, Photoshop, Lightroom, many of the different programs, the, you know, Adobe Premiere, all the, you know, every program that you think of, they've got tutorials on.
Yeah.
And for $25 a month, you can watch and learn from all of them.
Wow.
Where however many you have time to watch and learn from.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably a really good way. There's some really good people on the internet that are doing some things. I subscribe to some Photoshop channels, some gurus, and I pick up some of their stuff and go, ooh, I didn't realize you could do that way. So I take that, put it into my workflow, and then I tweak it and do something a little bit else to it, and then I teach other people how to do it.
When somebody signs up with you to take one of these courses, maybe they get a group of people together. This would be a great thing for family members, you know, because everybody's got photos and family photos, and if you wanted to learn how to play around with them and whatnot, you could get everybody on the same page. You know, you can get a bunch of people together to take this course. Do they have to have any kind of common knowledge of the program, or can they all be very fresh to Photoshop, or what would be the beginner, intermediate, you know, what
everything is tweaked to the group.
Okay.
So if you're an individual, you can tell me exactly, you know, you say, I have this amount of knowledge. I usually say, prove it, you know, in one way, shape or form, because a lot of people think they know Photoshop a bit.
Right.
Or, you know, I've had people say, oh yeah, I'm an intermediate Photoshop user. And I hit them with some of the most basic things, and it's like, ooh, okay, you're not as intermediate as you think, but here's that. At least I know where to start. And then, you know, if you really have it, then you can just say, oh, I've got that, and then you show me how you can do it. Basically, a lot of it's learned by doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend people, you know, if they want to do a Photoshop class, to get together with skilled folks, and then we can bring you all up together.
Right.
In a group up to six, I can do from beginner to intermediate.
Mm-hmm.
After six, if we get into larger groups, then I need to have everybody at sort of the same level or at the very least willing to sacrifice on the low end because I don't want to bore the people who have more skills.
Right, right. The learning by doing is key, especially with that program. I don't know how many times I've had you show me the same thing like five times because I just don't do it that often. And every 6 months or so when I do need to use it, I'm asking you again, like, how did you do that? How did I, you know?
I've even gone back to some basic classes. Yeah. There's a guy named Ben Wilmore who I think is one of the strongest Photoshop instructors in the world.
Yeah.
He's very, you know, very slow. I'm not very methodical.
Right.
Very steady. I've learned a lot about teaching from him. But he's just really shown me some really fabulous things. And I took his Photoshop 101 class again just recently and bought it.
Yeah.
Because Photoshop has grown so big. It's doing so many more things than it used to. I didn't even know they were there.
Interesting. Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more. We're talking with Bob Coates today, Bob Coates Photography. Don't forget to take a look at his websites, bcphotography.com. That's the main website, bcphotography.com. Or you can go to successful-photographer.com, successful-photographer.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more. Bob Coates, 780 KACF Tech Talk returns after this. Welcome back in. It is Tech Talk, 780 KACM. Talking with Bob Coates, Bob Coates Photography. Again, go to bcphotography.com, bcphotography, all one word, .com, or successful-photographer.com. The difference between the two sites.
The bcphotography.com is my commercial site. It kind of tells people what I do. It shows my work. It's selling myself it's my promotional material for people to say, hey, oh, that's the kind of work that you do.
Right.
The successful-photographer site is to help photographers.
Okay.
I write blog posts probably four or five, six times a week, about photography, about, lighting, about equipment, about, tools that you can use in addition to your camera in order to accomplish certain things. You know, it's basically in general, make you a better photographer site.
Okay. And it's great information on both. The blog's fun to follow along with because you can kind of see what you're doing, when you're doing it. As you're going along, you take a number of trips and stuff throughout the year, whether it's with Panasonic, and you're out working, taking photos the whole time you're doing that. So you kind of get a lot of, great stuff and kind of updates on, what's happening with Bob Coates.
Yeah. Well, what's really interesting is I'm in my role as an instructor, I'm able to travel around, and as I go, I try and schedule a little extra time wherever I go now. Before, I used to go in, you know, and I saw a lot of the inside of hotel rooms.
Right.
So these days, I try and take the cameras out, put them through their paces. I have lots of different cameras because I'm a Lumix luminary, which basically means Panasonic sponsors me to speak to photography groups all around the country. Matter of fact, I just recently did two programs right here in Sedona, one with the Sedona Arts Center, the Sedona Photo Fest, and another with Arizona Professional Photographers Association. I did one for them on a lighting class, and then I did a two-day workshop here. So being able to travel around and being pushed to try new things on the cameras.
Yeah.
Panasonic has often said, hey, we have this new feature on the camera. Tell people why it's really cool. And then I'm like, well, I'm not sure it's so cool.
Yeah.
And then so I'm pushed to go try it and push it in different directions. And all of a sudden I go, whoa, this is pretty cool. And here's some images to show why and how it is.
Interesting.
For example, the newest camera that came out, interchangeable lens camera. A lot of people like to have the ability to put better or not so great glass on it so they can work for their budgets.
Mm-hmm.
They just came out with the G7.
Okay.
And the G7 now has 4K capability for video, which means that it can also pull 8 megapixel stills from the video, and it's made it very easy with knobs on the top of the camera before you, in order to work the 4K video and to decide which stills that you wanted to have as your final single images. You had to either take it into another program or scroll through it on the back of the camera. Now you can actually set it very easily on the back, and it's got a really weird feature which I'm still trying to figure out how they do. It will actually take 1 second of video before you push the button. And I'm like, how do it know?
So
literally when you push the button, it's already taken as you're, I don't know,
so it's got a,
it's so it's taking 30 frames as you push it.
Wow.
It's already grabbed 30 frames. It's so weird.
It's, you know what it sounds like? It sounds almost like what you have with a DVR, you know, on your security cameras or something. And every, you know, it just keeps recording, and every 30 days or whatever, it refreshes. So you can always go back and look at something. Well, if you're constantly recording and refreshing, it's like being able to rewind live TV.
Okay.
They didn't know you wanted to rewind it, but it's constantly recording 30 minutes of TV and just dumping the last 30 minutes to refresh with the first 30 minutes. I wonder if it's like that.
I guess. I haven't quite figured it out yet, and I haven't actually had this camera in my hands yet, but it answers a lot of questions for the advanced amateur who wants to use this technology, so they don't have to go to the GH4 to get the 4K video. They can get it in a $600 camera versus a, you know, $1,500, $1,600 camera.
Right.
It's pretty cool stuff. You know, and a lot of times I used to read manufacturers' descriptions of what their products could do, and I was like, well, yeah, sure.
Sure.
And since I've been working with the Panasonic cameras and having to read up on them and be really on top of them, putting my hands on them after I've read their descriptions, I'm like, these guys are pretty much telling reality.
Yeah.
You know, if you know how to push, you know, I mean, you obviously have to have some skills and you have to practice with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like with the 4K video, I didn't really think that it would be easy to pull stills. Well, it is. You just basically play it back. Oh, that's close. Oh, slow it down. Step. That's the frame I want. And then in the camera, you can save it as that 8 megapixel JPEG.
Interesting.
And then when you download it, you obviously have it already picked out. Or you can still take that video clip into something like Adobe Premiere or Final Cut Express or Final Cut Pro or any of the editing programs, probably even iMovie and things like that, and yeah. pull the individual stills out and say, I want that to be a still.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
It's impressive the way technology has advanced and stuff. And obviously, you get to keep up on all of it being a Lumix luminary. So, folks, follow along with Bob Coates. Go to Bob Coates' website. See either bcphotography.com or successful-photographer.com. We'll take our last break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Tech Talk right after this. Welcome back in. Tech Talk 780-KAZM. Wrapping things up. Bob, how do people get in touch with you?
284-0200, 284-0200. All that information, of course, is on the websites, bcphotography.com and successful-photographer.com.
There you go, folks. Couldn't have said it better myself. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Here on KAZM. Join us each week as we learn about the latest technological innovations affecting all of our day-to-day lives. Join us again next Wednesday at this time for Tech Talk.